Welcome to the Word on the Street podcast. It is May 21st, the year 2000, and Chael still going. Same as always, people. Thank you for joining us. We are live, and we are here with, this is Ramses, by the way, straight out of Austin, Texas, broadcasting live from the compound. I'm here with my co-host, Jake, from the MMA Podcast. How are you doing, Jake?
Very good, very good. Follow us on Twitter, The MMA Podcast. Simple as that.
I'm also on with the living legend himself, Coach Jamie Huey. How are you doing, Jamie?
Outstanding. How are you guys?
I've never been better, man. I'm ready. I'm pumped for this. And our special guest for tonight is a professional MMA fighter with an impressive winning record in the welterweight division. However, there's a good chance you saw him fighting as a middleweight in the premiere episode of The Ultimate Fighter Season 17, where he fought Kelvin Gastelum to a decision in a crazy competitive fight. He is currently, I believe, a member of Team Alpha Male, and Coach Huey vouches for him just being a good guy overall. So we welcome you to the Word on the Street podcast, Mr. Keto Andrews. How are you
doing? Thank you so much.
Yeah, how are you doing, Keto? And did I get any of your info wrong?
Oh, no, you got it all right, man. I am part of Team Alpha Male, and I am a welterweight that I did compete as a welterweight on plus 17, exactly.
Yeah, and where are you right now? Are you in California or Pennsylvania?
Yeah. I'm in Sacramento, California. I was born in Pennsylvania, lived out there for a couple of years, and me and mom moved over here to California pretty much since I was 2 years old.
Awesome. Yeah, I tried to. I did as much research on you as I could, like a professional journalist that I am.
Nice.
The problem is what I try to do is I try to dig up all the dirt on anybody that's coming on the podcast, and unfortunately, I couldn't dig up shit on you, Keto. Nobody has anything bad to say about you.
That's the stuff.
Yeah, I even saw a few videos of Ryan Faber just commenting on you. He said you were a real game player, an emotional fighter. He had nothing but good things to say about you. So thank you, Keto Andrews, for coming on the show. Now, you've got... Well, I have to ask you the hack question automatically. You've got 10 wins under your belt. You're a well-rounded fighter with knockouts, TKOs, submissions. The startup question that everybody has to ask. Can you give us a little history on your MMA fighting career and how it started and how it's led to where you are right now?
Definitely. I started out when I started doing Aikido back in 2002. I was at Chico State, and I stopped running track. I used to play football in junior college both years, and then I also ran track, and I got a scholarship to Chico, but I had to stop to make sure I could take care of my kids and then get out of there as soon as possible. So I ended up going into just lifting weights and doing Aikido and martial arts, and I wanted to get into law enforcement, so I had one of my fraternity brothers, Phi Beta Sigma, he put me in a triangle choke, and I almost passed out, and I was so impressed by what he did because he's a smaller guy. I was like, you have to teach me this stuff. And so we just went and started doing garage workouts and stuff, and he would go to his dojo because I couldn't afford to pay for a membership there, and he would teach me the stuff. He would start learning. And then I actually ended up going up to Dave Velasquez's gym up in Marysville back in 2003. And he had just lost the Faber in the for the King of the Cage belt back then and stuff. So I was going to his gym, and I didn't know anything about Faber and stuff back then. And I was just going there and working out and just getting the dog shit beat out of me, like, every day. I mean, those guys, you know, they didn't teach a lot of techniques. You know, Dave Velasquez is, like, old school, like, UFC 20 or something like that. And it was pretty much my first day was come in and put in a gauntlet of 8 guys and just go and see if you can survive, you know. So it was, I went from there, and then I got into law enforcement after I finished college and stuff, and I just, one of the guys on the SWAT team that I was on, he was getting ready for a fight, and I was like, oh, I used to mess around, you know, doing that stuff, can I come train with you? And this was out in Arizona, and he was like, yeah, for sure. So I went out there and would train with him every now and then, then I went and watched him do his amateur, and I was just like, man, I could do one of these. So I started training for an amateur fight and did an amateur fight, and won the first round. I think I broke the guy's nose in a couple places. It was open hand strikes too.
Nice.
And I'm raising the cage out in Arizona. They ran one every single month, like a fight every month. It was incredible. And I broke the guy's nose, blood everywhere, and trying them, and won in the first round. And I was hooked.
That's awesome. Yeah, actually, we had somebody on last week who actually fought in the Rage in the Cage out there, and he was actually part of a two-man versus two-man MMA fight.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that is the craziest shit ever, man.
That is.
But in case you aren't aware, Keto, here on the Word on the Street podcast, we actually followed every episode of Tough 17, and we tried to have on as many fighters as possible from the show. So it's an honor talking to you, adding you to that list. And even though it probably seems like a long time ago, I've got to ask, can you talk about your Ultimate Fighter experience?
Definitely. It was definitely something I'll never forget. I mean, the people that make it into that house are definitely, you definitely have to have a regimen and a great support system going into that, because they make you as uncomfortable and disoriented as possible in that and stuff. You know, you're in there and you're doing stuff where you're not, you know, there's little contact with the outside world. You don't have your regular people around you to cut weight. You're cutting weight by yourself. You know, you don't have your support system there. And then, you know, you're going out, but everyone's going through the same thing. So there's no way to make an excuse to say, oh, well, I didn't get in the house because of this and this, because everyone's doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So it was all just like a dream. You know, it was just a beautiful dream. And it was just one of those things that I felt like I belonged there. You know what I mean? It was so tough to take that loss and stuff, but I lost to a kid that, you know, he's got a great heart. Me and Kelvin actually, you know, were talking before we even got into the house, when we were doing medicals and stuff, and you know, had some stuff in common, and we're talking. And it's funny because I told him that I'm mostly like striking, and you know, I don't have any wrestling, you know, background per se.
No.
He's just like, then he's telling me that, you know, I'm a wrestler, I don't really strike, and you know, so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of funny when Dana called it out, we both kind of looked at each other like, shit, man.
Yep.
But you know, we didn't look at each other or nothing after that. But that's one thing about this sport. You got to take the wins with the losses just the same. You know what I mean? Losses don't define you. It's how you come back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, Coach Jamie Huey was there. Now, Coach Huey, you know, peeling back the curtain here, you are the reason I'm getting, the reason we have, we're lucky enough to have Keto on the show is because you hooked it up. Coach Jamie Huey, were you randomly assigned to Keto's corner in that premier fight, or did you get to know him some other way on the show? How did you get to meet Keto?
Well, you know, after, you know, on the show, they showed, you know, they brought the fighters in, they introduced them to Chael and to John, and they all kind of talked a little bit. They got the camera time in, and then they brought us in after that, and then we all kind of stood around, and guys would come up to us. We'd ask guys questions. They'd ask us questions. It was kind of like this funny interview type of atmosphere, but there were certain guys that really stood from the beginning. Kelvin obviously was one of them. I like Kelvin the minute I met him. I spent a lot of time talking to Adam Sella, you know, because he had a boxing background, and of course, you know, Keto as well. So that was kind of my first experience talking to these guys. But you know, kind of thinking back on Kelvin's fight with Keto, really, Keto was the only guy that went the distance with Kelvin the whole season, and it was a grind, man. It came down to decision, and unfortunately, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. Sometimes it's the luck of the draw. I mean, there was a guy, Adam Entz, that was the only guy that went the decision with Uriah Hall to get in the house. So, you know, some of this is kind of like, you know, just kind of the luck of the draw sometimes. I believe that those guys that didn't get in the house have a strong chance of probably winning a whole lot of other seasons because the talent was that thick. And I remember watching Kelvin and Keto, and I was really impressed with Keto's ground game. I mean, he said he didn't have any wrestling, but I remember vividly him working the rubber guard, and Kelvin kind of wiggling his back in there. But you know, Keto was working the whole time, man. That was a I can't remember how much they edited or if they showed the whole fight.
That was
one of those fights that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, definitely. Keto. I actually rewatched the premiere episode when I knew that you were going to be on, and really, the fight versus Kelvin, It's a tough question to ask, but well, first of all, they did edit the shit out of that fight. It ended up looking like an ESPN highlight reel. So I've got to ask you about it. I mean, I have to. And I just want to say that I was talking to Kelvin earlier today. He did say for a fact that you were by far the hardest fight that he's ever had in his entire life. And he told me, like, you could have easily won the show. I've got to know, how did that fight, you know, it was a, and he also mentioned that it was a back and forth fight the whole way. All we saw was an edited version. Can you kind of just break down how that fight actually went, since we only saw about 20 seconds of it?
Yeah, it was, if you've ever seen white on rice and a paper plate and a cup of milk and a snowstorm, that's what Calvin was on me in that fight when we weren't together. That's pretty much what it was like. He was just relentless. My main thing was like, all right, I know what this guy's going to do. I just don't want him to grab me first thing in the round. What does he do? Just walks right up to me, and I just stand there, and he walks right up to me, and he puts me against the cage, and I'm just like,
Wait, hold on, wait. Actually, you hit him with a straight first. You popped him with a straight.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't, and that was the thing. I hit him up on Twitter after, and I was like, hey, I don't remember, like, a fight to me, there's so much adrenaline that it takes me a long time to remember it. I can't recollect it by, just pure memory. I have to see it. I don't remember a lot of the stuff because I haven't seen the whole fight. So when I hit him up, I was like, I don't, you know, I might be mistaken, but I don't remember looking that good on the show, because he was like, yeah, they edited a lot and stuff, but his control was great. I mean, just like Coach says, I was working the best I could and just trying to stay busy, but he just had such a, like, an incredible pace. Like, he was just, you know, not stopping. He had some good shots on the ground. And stand up, you know, my front snap kick, man, he was walking straight into it, and then I threw it. He literally, the tenth of a second, moved out of the way, and it went right. I mean, it grazed his nose. Yep. You know, if I lived in Sugarland, I'd be a millionaire, and I wouldn't be on the show right now. But, you know,
it's one of those
things. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, he's a great fighter, and my mom got in his face after the fight and said, you better fucking win this whole thing, and he kept his word. That's right, because I swear to God, my mom said that. So,
I believe it, because, dude, I was checking out some of your YouTube videos, and I saw the one where your mom's filming you winning against Justin something or other.
Oh, my God.
And
can you imagine what that was like for me? I was a quarterback in high school, and the captain of my basketball team, this woman, screamed. We couldn't even watch the film with volume because my mom would be screaming so loud.
She was the one
time.
Yeah, she was
screaming.
Oh, she was ranting, raving. And when you got him out, man, dude, it went crazy. The camera starts shaking like it's all.
Oh yeah, you couldn't even watch it. Yeah, she's incredible, man.
That was awesome. Okay, yeah. So she definitely talked some sense into Kelvin. That's good to know. But I've got to know just one more question about that fight. You know, it's a hard question, but, you know, do you take any kind of comfort in knowing that they gave the decision to the guy who actually went on to win the whole fucking show, the whole tournament? Or is it kind of bittersweet? And do you think that like maybe you got a little screwed with being matched up in a fight that probably should have been the Ultimate Fighter finale fight?
Well, you know, it's easy to say. There could have been so many incredible matchups to make that final fight in a house that, you know, people would have loved to watch, you know, learning about all these incredible athletes and their stories and stuff. You know, it's one of those, it is what it is. You know, my life has been, you know, a bunch of crazy, you know, hands of cards dealt to me, and, you know, you just got to make the best out of it. You can't sit there and complain about your situation. I mean, if that was the case, then I'd be complaining all day. You know what I mean? You just got to look at the positive of it. That was my third time trying out. You know what I mean? I drove to Los Angeles, flew to Vegas. I mean, and then finally came back out, flew to Vegas again on a whim. My boy Justin Buckles was like, man, I was just like, oh, I'm thinking about trying out again, and, you know, but I don't know if I can be on for that long for my kids, and, you know, I'm the one that's watching them. And he was like, dude, he's like, you're a fucking idiot. And I'm like, what? And he's just like, six weeks for what this could do for you? And then he just walked away from me. And I was just like,
yeah,
he's fucking right. Like, why wouldn't I do this? Yeah. Why wouldn't I take that opportunity? So, you know, what happened was an incredible experience. I mean, you know, from my second time not making it, if someone would have told me, you know, hey, you'll get, you know, halfway, I would have been so ecstatic. So I'm happy for what it was, but I know that's not going to be my last taste of the UFC. I'm too hungry. You know what I mean? I got these two little boys that are depending on me to make this money and get out of this little, personal training, you know, gig that I got. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Hell yeah. Good to know. And I will ask you about balancing MMA and being a father. But first, I want to quit being a mic hog. We do have Jake from the MMA podcast. You're on with Keto Andrews and Coach Jamie the Living Legend Huey. Jake, you got anything right now that you just want to pop in with?
Yeah, really quick. We talked about you training with Alpha Male. Sort of talk to us about how you first started getting involved with them. Are you from California originally? You know, kind of tell us the evolution of that.
Yeah, well, actually, I went to after I graduated high school out in Leonard Park. I moved to Sacramento to actually play football for Sacramento City College. My track coach that was at Sac State, he actually ended up getting me enrolled over there just so I could get some classes and stuff. And then so I was in Sacramento for about from like 97 to like 99, and then went to Chico and stuff. So I've been in the area. So a lot of the guys, like Danny Castillo, who was Spice News, he wrestled at Sac City when I played football there and stuff. So, you know, you see people and kind of recognize faces and stuff. But after I came back from Arizona, I literally just walked. I said, if I'm going to go to any gym, Faber's gym is the best in the area, you know, so that's where I'm only going to go to the best. So walked in there and just came in there just like any other, member, you know, just started taking classes, told them I had a couple fights, and they said take classes until you know, we see what kind of skills you have, and I stayed with it. So I started as a member, and now I teach conditioning classes and do personal training out of there.
Awesome, yeah. One of the things about Team Alpha Male, they are known for having guys who don't weigh that much. Most of their fighters are in the 125 to 155 ranks. Are most of the fighters there lighter fighters, or are they're actually a pretty good spread of weight classes there?
Yeah, no, there's a pretty decent. When I first started about 4 or 5 years ago at the gym, there was maybe only about a handful of Jeremy Freetag, Freddy Akatanye, Ken Alexander and stuff. But I mean, it has been tough, but I try to make the best out of it. You know what I mean? Because I have these quick guys that are, you know, flying all over the place. So I feel like if I can stand in and be able to touch these guys and not, you know, through my power, just to be able to put a hand on them, I can put hands on anybody. If I can put hands on a guy like Anthony Alvaro, who's, you know, 10-2 on the local circuit, you know, I mean, I feel like I can put hands on pretty much anybody, you know what I mean, when I want to. So I just try to, make the best out of my situation and utilize, my strength that I have there. I have someone like Lance Palmer, who's a 4-time NCAA champion. I have Dustin Ekwari, who's a jiu-jitsu black belt at 23 years old in Capsule Wernick and has competed in the world, and he's about to compete up in New York. I think it's Abu Dhabi or Pan Ams or something like that. But I mean, we have a ton of great resources there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really starting to grow and turn into one of the best camps in the country. And since Dwayne Bang Ludwig has joined Team Alpha Male, y'all have really seen a lot of success. And my next question kind of gets to that about Dwayne Bang. We actually had him on the MMA podcast a couple weeks ago, and I was kicking myself because literally like the day after we had him on, he made news for you know, saying that he likes to medicate and watch film and watch it sober and watch it medicated. Have you ever lit one up with Dwayne Bang and broken down some fight tape?
No, you know, actually, it's been kind of crazy because there's been so many fights with like the premier guys. Because I'm on the local circuit and I'm working my way up, and I feel like I'm just one or two fights away from that. But he's been very busy with his own stuff and working with those guys. But him and I have actually had something planned. We just talked today about having a little sit down and kind of game planning some stuff for me. But he's an incredible guy, man. So I'm really happy that he's a part of the team.
Yeah, he's really starting to show, like since he showed up to Team Alpha Male. I'm not sure what the exact figure is, but y'all have been doing absolutely amazing. I got a couple more questions, but first I'll pass it back off to Ramses and let him get a few more in.
Yes, and this is going to be like some sort of, I don't watch football, but this is going to be like a lateral play here. Because I just came up with a new segment for the radio show that I'm going to hit Keto with. But first, I want to see if Coach Jamie, the living legend Huey, has any questions for Keto before I begin this breakthrough new
Fumble
segment.
Ruski. Fumble Ruski.
Yeah. Coach Huey, you're on with Keto, obviously. Can you interrogate him, ask him any hard questions, or you got softballs? What's up?
I've got a pretty rough question for Keto. I'd like to know when he's going to come up here to Portland and get some rounds, and we've been talking about that for a little while. So he's a guy I'm excited to work with, in conjunction, obviously, with everything he's got going down there at Alpha Male. I was just down there in the Bay Area this weekend and actually didn't get a chance to catch up to him, but we're definitely going to have to link up here, hopefully, here pretty soon.
Definitely, Coach. Summer's about to start up. My kids are out of school Friday, so I'll be able to try to get some stuff together and if not, try to fly out there. So.
Love to, man. Love to have you up here. It was a quick drive. It was a 10-hour drive, so it went really kind of went quick.
That's true. Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. That wouldn't be a bad idea either.
All right. Okay.
That's pretty much my fastball there, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. The living legend is saying train with me or nothing, dude. That's his ultimatum.
Yeah, that's about as hard hitting.
As it goes.
What else do you expect from the living legend of coaches? Now, okay, that was enough time though. I have prepared it, Keto. Though before I go into this segment, which I will call MMA Parenting with Keto Andrews. I want to ask you a question, Keto. After your fight with, Kelvin and you were on Tough, there was a video that the Ultimate Fighter, the UFC put out. It showed like kind of the post-fight stuff, and it was like a really touching video with you and your kids. Obviously, you've already brought them up a few times. Obviously, that's probably your life is, I'm guessing, is fighting and your kids, right?
Yeah, so I'm kind of both my kids and fighting though.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. they know what I'm talking about if they ever listen to this. But my question is, how the hell do you balance raising two kids and being an MMA fighter? Like, most guys have a hard time managing a girlfriend in a fight career, let alone children. So can you tell me a little bit, because I am never going to have children. I've already made that decision in this life because I'm selfish. Yeah, how do you do it, man? How do you balance?
Yeah, real fun. Like looking back at it and stuff, it's such a big responsibility that I don't think a lot of people truly can understand until you've been doing it for a few years and stuff. And I mean, I'm 35 years old and I grew up without my father, and I'm learning how to be a man and trying to teach these little boys how to be men. You know what I mean? So it's definitely one of those things. I look at parenting just like I look at jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai. You know, every day, I go in there and I'll make mistakes and I try not to repeat the same mistakes. I try to improve on it and have good talks and sit down with these guys and reflect and listen to them and not just yell at them and stuff like that. But I make mistakes, I apologize to them for it. But the main thing is they're in the loop about what's going on. I keep them in the loop. Hey, you guys, I gotta pick you up right after school. Daddy's gotta go to the pool for a swim workout, and then right after that you gotta go here, so you guys gotta get your stuff ready to go tonight and this and that. And so what I try to do is these guys are on the same schedule I am, and that's ripping and running from 5:30 in the morning to probably like 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? So the main thing is we stay moving. I keep them. We try to be proactive with stuff. And this last, after Ultimate Fighter, I'll be quite honest, man, everything kind of like it started crashing down like around me. Like it was tough, man. I mean, lost my girl. She moved out, and I mean, it was just a bunch of stuff. Yeah, that had nothing to do with the show, but it was just like, when it rains, it pours. But it's one of those things, sometimes you got to get broken down to get built back up. And I ended up, I lost the fight. It was a big fight that I had. And, it's had a lot of things going on, a lot of court stuff with my kids. But, again, no excuses. I walked into the fight, took it willingly, still thought I could beat this kid. And, he came ready to fight, and he ended up beating me in a decision. And, I put on a show, and that's what I came to do. My thing was I had all that stuff, but my kids were right there with me. They walked me out in any local fight that I'm at.
But, you know, the main thing is just that we communicate. You know what I mean? I tell them what's going on. They're my partners. You know what I mean? My little guy, he's 9. His name's Isaac. He took on jiu-jitsu the other day, and he just did a second tournament. I don't train him. I tell him, look, dude, if you guys want to do this, this is all you. I don't need to lift you guys. I'm not trying to push you guys to do this. If you want it, this is all you. I don't have time to coach you. We got coaches there for it. So my whole thing is if they like it when they're little and they take it upon themselves when they get older, then that'll be time for us for me to start working with them and stuff. But my whole thing is I've worked with guys that have in football that said, man, my dad was on me every single day, and they're like, I fucking hate football. I just do it because now I'm getting a free education out of it, and I'm going to make some money. You know what I mean? But you're like, that's ridiculous. You know, sports are supposed to be something where you release. You know what I mean? So, you know, I've taught my kids how to, you know, release their stress, and you know, they can be as aggressive as they want and stuff and still have fun, you know? So.
You should get into radio because that's the perfect segue to where I was going, man. This segment is called MMA Parenting with Keto Andrews. We are touching on it. He does have two sons, I believe, Isaiah and Isaac, correct?
Yes. Isaiah's 12, just turned 12 on the 27th. Isaac just turned 9 on the 7th. And Isaiah is like 165 pounds, 160 pounds, with a size 11 and a half or 12 now. It's ridiculous, dude.
Wait, he didn't look that size on the show, man.
I'm telling you, this kid, he, real talk, we don't have a lot of money right now. So I tell him, I'm like, look, dude, go in my closet, you can wear my shoes and wear all my clothes because I'm in the gym pretty much all day, any day, so I don't get to wear a lot of my guys. I'm telling you, it's literally it's the greatest thing ever.
Oh.
And get this, this is funny about my alpha male guys. I love all of them. But they all of them get all of their hand-me-downs. TJ Dillashaw, just tons. I'll hand my kids down so much stuff. It's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, that's awesome, kids, dude.
Dude, it's I'm like on a gold mine of clothes and gear. It's incredible.
Are they MMA? Obviously, they probably are. But are they MMA fans?
Yes, they are. Dude, they love it. It's so funny. They like we go to favorite's house for like team dinners and stuff like that, and for mind coaching and stuff. But it's so funny. They'll see them and they'll be like, "Can we get an autograph?" And it's like, you guys, you're friends. You don't really have to do that. But they don't. They see them on TV, so they got posters of his stuff, and then, you know, all over the room and stuff. It's so cute.
Oh, how badass! Oh, my life would have been badass if my dad was an MMA fighter. Now that I'm thinking about it, dude. Yeah.
No. I was gonna say it's got its downfalls too, because when I'm getting on them and stuff, it's like when they were younger, I said, you know, spank them here and there, but they would never see it coming. So I was like,
you'd hit them with a right cross of a spank,
a combo or something like that.
Yeah, combo spank.
Not enough to leave a mark. I'm just kidding.
Of course. Yeah, the thing about fighters, they can control the exact power. I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so MMA Parenting with Keto Andrews here on the Word in the Street. I'm just going to ask you a few hypothetical questions here. Just, you know, he's got two kids, people. He is a professional MMA fighter. So first question, just going to hit you with, Keto, be real. What advice have you given your kids in case some other kid or bully tries to bully them? Like, what have you honestly told them?
We've been going through this all year. My kids, I just, I got, right around the show time, I just got full custody. So my kids went from a very small rural school down to Sacramento where they don't use all the same, slang and stuff. So my kids come home and like, Dad, what does breath mean? You know what I mean? So the Bay Area, we have all kinds of, like, what's up, breath? What's up, you know, what's up, cuz? And so my kids are coming home and now they're like, they're kind of imitating it and stuff. And it's pretty funny. But, you know, my oldest got, he got punked for a video game. He goes, hey, Dad, you know, he goes, what do you think about this trade? I'm going to trade this game for two games. And I said, that sounds like a pretty awesome trade. And I said, it's your game. Go do what you want. So he, and I kind of knew it sounded too good to be true. So, but I wanted to let him kind of learn what he's going to do. So he goes and gets the game. We get in the car. We're about to go home. And he looks at it. And he's like, Dad, there's a scratch. When I looked at it initially, it looked super clean. Gets the game home and doesn't work. And mind you, he's a little kid at school. I mean, all these kids are shorter than him. My son towers over everybody.
Con artists.
Oh, yeah, totally got him over. My son is, like, upset. He wants to call this kid. He's like, Dad, call him. I said, I'm not calling nobody. I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell him to do something. His parents aren't going to do anything. So I'm going to tell you like this. You're going to go to school. You're going to get in this kid's face, and you're going to punk him and say, give me my fucking game back.
Yes.
Simple as that.
That's badass.
These kids don't understand anything else. They don't understand they don't understand, hey, can I please? No. They'll understand, give me my fucking game back, or I'm going to fuck you up. And you don't have to hit them. You don't have to touch them. You get in his face and you threaten him and watch what he'll do. And my son, my son is, he gets bullied every now and then. The biggest kid always, for whatever reason, is like the one that gets bullied the most.
Yep.
So he comes back home and goes, "Daddy, I got my game." And I said, "How do you feel about that?" He said, "Daddy, he was afraid of me." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I got in his face and I punked him and I said, give him a fucking game back, punk." And he was like, okay, I'll get it tomorrow. And I said, "Well, how did you feel about that?" He said, "I feel good, Dad." I said, you didn't do anything you shouldn't have did. You stood up for yourself. He took something from you. We work hard for that money. That's hard-earned money that he stole from us. That's not okay.
That's right.
And I said, it's one of those things. That's a life lesson. You know, as men, we have to learn how to stand up for ourselves. You know, we're animals first. You know what I mean? You know, as a corrections officer, I could look at you guys, and I could tell who's going to be the toughest guy to fight.
Yep, you can just see it in their eyes.
It might not even be Coach Jamie because he's not afraid. You know what I mean? It might be the guy that has no training, that's terrified of what's going to happen, and is going to give me the fight of his life because he's willing to die because he thinks he's going to die if I get my hands on. You know what I mean? So,
Have you gone that deep with your kids though, explaining that to them, or is it just like on the level of just tell this damn kid to give you your damn game back? Or have you been like, this is how you spot fear? This is what's going to happen. Like, how deep do you get? How real do you get?
Yeah, I get real with my kids, but I try to do it on a level that they understand and stuff too. Like, I tell them that, you know, what happens, everything that they are doing now as far as lying and cheating and stealing, that's how it's going to be when they get older. You know what I mean? You know, kids lie when they're young and stuff like that, but you have to teach them how to take responsibility for their actions. And that's been our big thing since, that's been our big thing. My little guy, he couldn't look at you and the only way to know he was lying was to watch his mouth. His lips would be moving and you knew he was lying. That's how my little guy was, and it's been like about 3 months of every time he would, I knew when he would do something, he would eat Nutella when he wasn't supposed to, or take a juice box when he wasn't supposed to. Isaac, if you take that, no, I'm looking at the juice box right there next to your bed. Like, seriously, you're not going to do it. And I would tell him, look, if you take responsibility for your actions and you man up, then we'll do that. And the reason being, when you have a job, if you learn to take responsibility and not repeat mistakes, you're going to make them, but not repeat them, then that's how you're going to move forward in life, you know? So I try to give these guys, you know, all the skills that I didn't have growing up. No, I had nobody telling me anything like this. I'm learning from watching TV. I'm like, you know, Jim Carrey on the cable guy, you know, watching TV every single day. I, you know, watching Silver Spoons and shows that a lot of these young kids don't know about, you know what I mean? Those are my parents. My coaches were my parents, you know? I look up to Coach Huey, you know what I mean? He took me under when, you know, he really did not read into it, you know?
Yeah.
So people like that, I have a ton of respect for, you know what I mean?
No, definitely. Now, what about actual in-fight advice? Like, you're teaching them how to be above the fight, get their shit back if they get screwed over without even going to blows. But have you ever, like, this is MMA parenting with Keto Andrews, by the way, people. Have you ever been like, all right, if a fight does go down, if someone hits you, this is what you do? Have you ever had that conversation?
Yeah, we have that conversation. They're not allowed to punch in the face. You know, my little guy, I think it was like his third week at school, he one of the kids tried to tackle him and take him down after playing a football game and stuff, and he choked the kid out. The kid attacked him, and I said, that's exactly what you're doing. We've had those talks. I said, if someone tackles you, you submit them, and that'll be that of it, and I'll take care of it at the scene. If someone attacks you, then you're on your back. You have every right to defend yourself. Yeah, so, but the main thing I tell them, no punching in the face. I mean, that's the main thing. But I tell them everything. You can talk your way out of everything. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. There's always a way to talk your way out of it. You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
So, I mean, I tell them the consequences of going to juvenile hall. I said, if you guys do this, you know, if you make that decision, that is your choice. However, there will be consequences, and you will have to, you know, pay up. If you hurt that kid or you kill that kid, there's a lot of consequences with that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, I tell them all that stuff. You know, this school that they're at right now, it's not the best school that they could be at as far as, you know, just a lot of, and it's not bad kids, it's just bad parenting. These kids are raised by their grandparents and stuff like that. And so, you know, I mean, I have teachers that tell me that they're so surprised when I come down for an issue about my kids and stuff. And I'm in the office and the kid goes, one of the teachers was talking to the teacher and they said, yeah, I told the parent, you know, your kid did this and this and this, and they say, what do you want me to do about it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's kind of what my kids have to kind of defend themselves there, because the teachers aren't going to, you know, the teachers are going to do as much as they can, but they have to learn how to defend themselves. Daddy can't be there. You know, when my little guy, or my big guy was
3 years old, getting ready to go to kindergarten, I knew he was going to get punked. I knew he was going to get beat up. So yeah. I started, like, he had a little afro, so I would literally pick him up by his hair. Like, I would grab him by his hair, like, probably 3-4 times in a day. Because he had long hair. So I knew the kids were going to grab his hair.
Just get him used to it.
Oh, I totally did. Oh, he would, I'd be like, ha, ha, ha. And then he would like, start laughing. We'd start fighting and stuff. And then, sure enough, we got to school. His mom called me, oh, my God, the kids beat up my day at school. Da, da, da. So I go and I see him after school, and I'm like, what happened? They grabbed my hair, and they threw me on the ground, and they kicked me. I said, well, mm-hmm. was it worse than when I beat you up? And they said, he said, no. I said, well, what are you crying about?
Yep.
And then that was the end of it.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That is how MMA parenting should be. Next question. Let's say, hypothetically, one of your kids comes up to you saying he wants to drop out of school and become an MMA fighter just like his daddy. What do you say or do?
You got to beat me first right now. That's not going to happen. So
not an option?
No, not whatsoever. They got to go to college.
So they have
reason to not.
So they have to go to school, or they just before they become fighters, or they you won't allow them to even go near that fighting world.
They need an education first. They need something to fall back on, because this whole fighting thing can end tomorrow. It can end by the end of the morning. You know, by the time you wake up. You know what I mean? I have a good friend of mine, Devin Johnson, that suffered a severe spinal injury, and he's reinventing his life right now. You know what I mean? And he had done that. He's given up everything for that, and I've watched other people do that and stuff, and just put everything in one basket, and then you have nothing to fall back on. You know what I mean? So my children will have degrees. My little guy was just talking about it, going, Dad, when I go to college, am I going to blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, perfect. That's exactly what I want to be thinking. You know what I mean? You know, you guys are going to college right after high school. You know, so it's what it is. There's no reason to not go get a free education, be able to hang out with people, meet new people, travel the nation, and play a sport. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. We actually we had on a former Strikeforce fighter, Connor Hewn, on the show once, and now he went through he had an issue with hip dysplasia, so now he's actually just he gave up the fight life. I think he's doing like sales or something now. Have your kids though? Have they said like, Dad, I want to be an MMA fighter? Have they brought that up yet, or are they like?
My little guy tried to talk about he wanted to do pancreation, and I said no, because he needs to put in more after work and stuff like that, because I said, I'm not going to watch you get beat up at 9 years old, because I'm going to beat up one of the parents or something like that. So yeah. I told him he needs to, you know, take his time and stuff, but I shut it down real quick. It's my house. If you're making money and you're doing your stuff, then that's fine, but, you know, you got to get a degree first before anything. So they haven't brought it up too much. My oldest, he's not too into it, but they're at the gym all the time, so he'll take a class every now and then for jiu-jitsu and stuff. And I've been trying to pressure him into doing a little bit more, because I know he's going to regret it when he gets older. Oh, I was at the gym all the time, and I never did it that much, you know. So I'm going to push him into it for a little bit and see how he likes it when he starts to get a little better, because he's struggling. Because big guy, but not nearly as strong as all everyone else is his size. So.
Yeah. Kind of his damn body isn't done like developing yet. Like, how can you even like compete in a class when like the next week you might as well be in a different class? It's ridiculous when you're a kid, man.
Yeah. His first, him and his brother did a tournament like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and he had to grapple an 18-year-old kid, a 17-year-old kid. Yeah. So he was 11
no.
at the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was the only one that was you know, his size and stuff. So it was pretty much it.
That's awesome. Okay, next question on the MMA Parenting with Keto Andrews segment. Let's say you've got – it's a hard question, actually, Keto. Let's say you've got a big money fight coming up. It's an important fight, and one of your kids gets freaked out and for whatever reason comes to you in tears, like begging you not to fight because he doesn't want to see you get hurt. What do you do?
That's a good one, man. That would probably be my little guy, because we've had some situations where someone tried to assault me on the streets, and he flipped out like that. So, God, I would do my best to console him and let him know that this is daddy's job. You know what I mean? And he in this last fight that I have, I didn't get the dog shit beat out of me, but I definitely, you know, I lost the decision and stuff, but his eye was swollen up and stuff, but I took some good damage and stuff. I had like a swollen lip and a black eye or two. And he was upset. I think he was crying when the fight was happening, but when, after, and he saw me and I was, you know, and he saw that I was okay and stuff and how I recovered, you know, I think he's starting to understand, you know, that it's, you know, we can get hurt, but it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? Like, we have an understanding of how to, you know, that this is part of the sport. There could be something that could, daddy could get hurt, but, you know, daddy will bounce back. You know what I mean? And that's the guarantee that I give him. You know what I mean? It's hard to have that, but it's something in my heart. You know what I mean? I'm dead tired in this fight, and I know I'm not, there's nothing that's going to get me knocked out. I'm not going to get knocked out in front of my kids. That's for damn sure. You know what I mean? And that was my mentality, the whole thing, just to finish that fight and get through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and they definitely, I mean, your little dudes handled it like champs on the Ultimate Fighter episode. I mean, they were cool. Obviously, I mean, it was a decision. Like, you weren't ever hurt or damaged or anything, or knocked out or anything like that. My last question about MMA parenting before I believe Jake has a couple questions. My last question is, like, just, I'm wondering though, like, obviously you're saying, like, you know, I'm not going to get knocked out in front of my kids. And like, I do believe you. I believe you, Keto Andrews. But I'm just wondering, like, as a parent, do you have a plan in place in case that, like, happens and they're there? I mean, is it always like, is your mom always there with you watching the fights? Like, I don't know. Like, what if you get hurt during a fight and they witness it, man? Like, are you willing to, like, are you ready to deal with that reality if it happens?
Definitely, I definitely am. It's one of those things that, you know, Isaac, this is another thing, my little guy, Isaac, in his first grappling match, my little guy's very big about his image and how he looks, and apparently he thought that tapping out would not be the best idea because it would show everyone that he gave up. So when he got caught in the guillotine in his first match, he decided to go unconscious.
Oh.
So he went out. I mean, literally, I'm grappling literally right next to him on the mat in the tournament, and my mom are screaming like, "Oh my god, oh my god!" And I look over, and he's passing on the ground. Oh, he'll be fine. I get back to finishing my round and stuff, and then go and check on him. I was like, "You all right?" He's like, "Yep." But I mean, for me, so I mean, with him, he kind of understands what it's like to go out. You go out, you wake back up. You know, it is what it is and stuff. My oldest one, he has a very good grasp, I think, on reality and what I do and stuff. And you saw that in the video and stuff. And, you know, he's such a huge part of my life. He's, like, such a big supporter of me. And I don't know what I would do without that kid, man. Like,
I can tell. Yeah, I can tell that one is tough, man. Yeah. I can already tell.
Yeah, he's been through so much, man, and I wish I could tell you more if it wasn't for the court stuff, but, I mean, he's been through so much, and it's one of those things that this kid is just, he's going to grow up to be something special. He has both my children, you know, that's one thing I've always wanted is my children to, you know, to change the world, and what I mean by that is changing the world doesn't have to be, you know, doing something humongous. It's something as simple as doing a good deed for somebody, you know. And both of my children have already done that. You know, my little guy one day is walking down the street, and we talk about, you know, people that aren't as fortunate as us. And as we come up from our one bedroom to our, you know, our one bedroom apartment to our three bedroom house and stuff that we're renting, you know, like, we know where we came from and stuff. And my children understand that too. My son told me one day, he said, "Dad, you're just different, huh?" And I said, "This is in a one bed 3 years ago." And I said, "What do you mean, son?" He said, "Well, we're outside playing tetherball, but there's no pole. We're doing it on the light pole, and we have a string attached to a 2-liter bottle of water." And I said, "Yeah?
Hell yeah.
We live a little different, son." But I said, "You know what? I said, when we get out of this and we make it, I said, we'll appreciate every single thing we have because we know what it's like to struggle. You know what I mean?" And so, you know, it's my kids they're incredible. You know what I mean? So
yeah, your little man is wise beyond his years, man. I can tell already, dude.
You know, man, it's so much fun just to watch him each week, man. Something new. You know what I mean? My big guy, he's got this big old monster afro, and I'm on him every day about making it look nice and stuff. But I'm telling you, like, when you see this kid, man, he's got so much swagger. I hear all this stuff, like, when I was the main event for the fight, and everyone comes up to me, "Man, your kids were off the hook." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Because when dad's around, my kids I have kind of a paramilitary background with my law enforcement and stuff. So if I say something, it goes. And my boys are very respectful, but they're very intelligent at the same time. So they know, well, shit, well, daddy's up there working out. We're cool to do whatever we want.
Uh-oh.
So they're out there, you know, getting pictures and autographs from ring girls. They're out there talking to people, running around. Oh, dude, it was hilarious. So,
oh, that's awesome. No, they're having a good time with it. They know who their father is. It sounds
exactly.
Yeah, and yeah, as far as the court shit goes, man, it sounds to me, from everything I'm hearing, man, it sounds like you're the right kind of dad. I hope it all works out. Jake does have some further parenting questions here. Jake, what's up?
Yeah, sort of to echo Ramses, it's obvious you're a really devoted father and care a lot about your kids. I don't have kids of my own yet. Hopefully down the road one day though. And I do plan on letting them get into sports because even though, you know, the threat of injury is always there, the strength and fortitude and grit it puts in them is really not really, you know, you're not going to get that same sort of strength and grit from sitting in your room playing video games. I definitely want to get them involved in sports, but sort of to ask someone I'm sure who's already run it through his own mind and having kids, where do you draw the balance between, you know, putting them out there and letting them run the risk of being injured, especially, you know, with concussions and head injuries, balancing that with, you know, the grit that you get from fighting, whether it's MMA, whether it's football, you know, getting that sort of mental fortitude?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing that I've done too was with the pancreation. I was like, there's no way I'm letting my kid get hit at 9 years old because I don't want his body to go through that much damage. I feel, you know, with that, there's so many other things that I can help them develop. So, you know, like my oldest, like if he wants to play football, I'm going to put him in like flag football leagues and stuff like that because all that damage on your body is hitting. That does a lot, you know, coming down the, you know, your career and stuff, you know, something tweaked your knee when you're 12 and that could be something that lingers for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? So, I'm very, conscientious of stuff like that. And I have to be, you know, the person that lets my kids know about the dangers and stuff like that. And at the same time, you know, it's their choice. If that's something that their heart just truly desires, I'll give them the education that they have. And then I'll be able, they'll be old enough to make those choices on their own and decide what it is they want to do. So I think that's the main thing that I like to do for my children is give them the information and then see what kind of decision they're going to make. As long as it's something that, you know, I don't feel they can, you know, they're going to die or get crippled and stuff from, you know, I'll go from there. But, you know, as far as that whole football thing and stuff, that's the one thing I'm kind of afraid of. I think my big guy, he can have, I mean, he's going to be just a monster, you know, and so I'm just going to keep him on working on his coordination with his feet and jumping rope and stuff. But, you know, it's something I'm definitely afraid of, but, you know, God has a plan for everybody. You can't be afraid of it. You just have to follow it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I mentioned I don't have any kids yet, but I got a couple girlfriends on the Twitter. Probably maybe one day in the future. But you know, none of us want to be that parent who's not involved in our kids' lives. But at the same time, no one wants to be that helicopter parent who's over involved and way too involved. How do you draw that balance to being involved in your kids' lives, but sort of pulling back and letting them do their own thing too?
Yeah, it's crazy. Give me 1 second. I need to yell at my kid.
All right.
No problem. Hey, Coach Huey, are you still there, man? I'm wondering.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that.
I'm here.
Sorry about that, you guys.
No problem.
I see it all the time. I was at the gym today, and this guy brought his kid in and stuff, and it was his daughter and stuff, and I think he's one of those guys that really wanted to fight or something like that, but could never get a fight or something, I don't know, just some excuse, but he was just like, yeah, my daughter will be doing pancreation tournaments in like 3 months. So I'm like, are you fucking shitting me? You're going to let your daughter fight another kid that, I mean, you have no idea what's out there. You know what I mean? Like, there's people that have been doing this since your kid was 3 and 4 years old. You know, I'll be damned if I let my kid feed my kid to wolves like that. Like, I see it all the time. And my whole thing is, you know, the parents, you know, when we're watching the kids and stuff, they're like super excited and they want to learn about me and stuff and what I do. And you know, the kids are going to do this. And I don't care if my kid does it. I mean, this is his thing right now. You know, this is something that I want him to enjoy. So if he's around it, he enjoys it, he likes being around the kids and stuff, then that'll progress into something else hopefully later in life. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Those really were the main two I had in my mind. I'll pass it back off to Ramses.
Yeah, definitely. Good to know that Coach Huey was still there. He did not drop off. Coach Jamie. You know, obviously, still continuing one more time with the MMA parenting segment. I got to say, you, as far as it goes with you, Coach Jamie, what advice would you give your children as far as like when kids bully them? Like, honestly, what's the go-to advice?
My stepdaughter, she's never had that problem. She's a girl that takes no shit from anybody. Yeah. So I've never had to tell her anything. Maybe take it down a notch because she takes care of herself. as far as my stepson Hondo, I raised him from the time he was about five, and he kind of grew up in a house with a sister and a mom, and he was a baseball player. I always coached all his baseball teams growing up. I took him into the gym, and it was important for him to know how to defend himself. But a lot like what Keto said, I never pushed him into doing anything as far as combat sports unless he wanted to. And in 10th grade, he didn't make his high school baseball team. And he came up and I asked him, so what are you going to do? And he says, I don't know. I think I'm going to start boxing. Now, he had been in the gym. He had been sparring for years because I always believed that it was important for him to be able to protect himself, and that self-confidence is so important in combat sports. So he started boxing, and he racked up a very impressive amateur career. He was a good little boxer. In fact, he's huge. He's like 6'1", 180 pounds. I had him doing rounds with Chael when we were getting ready for it was either the first or the second Anderson fight. So he was solid, man. He could fight. So, I never really had to tell him anything. He was a good kid. He never really got into trouble. But really, the confidence that goes along with being involved in combat sports, even if they're not going to compete, but just the confidence is really important. So as far as what I told them, I think it was more of what I showed them. I try to set an example.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're saying that the living legend Junior has sparred with the People's Champion himself?
I will. I have video of it.
Holy shit.
Breaking news.
I will try to get some video, but I definitely have pictures that I can tweet out with Hondo.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's really a good kid. He's in college now, and he's sharp. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's definitely that's a confidence builder just alone, man. Wow. Even if like somehow, I end up having like a couple beers, I end up in Westland, Oregon. I'm like, Chael, dude, let's spar. I swear to God, I've had training, thug jitsu, this and that. And he knocks me out. Even if he knocks me out, that would be the greatest honor of my entire life. I hate to get all fanboyish, people. I'm sorry. We were talking about MMA parenting. Now Keto, So what's the word on actually your kids? Do you think any one of them is going to end up fighting like you, or do you see them going a different route?
I think my little one's got the bug. He's all about it. I'm talking like 7 a.m, standing in front of me with his gi on and his belt. Like, are we going, Dad? And I'm like, are you serious? And, up in the morning and going and stuff. So I think he's kind of got the itch right now, and I think it's incredible because it's exactly what Coach is saying is he's learning discipline, he's learning respect, and he's self-confident. You know what I mean? My son walks around with confidence. You know what I mean? He believes in himself, and that's what every parent wants for their children. You know what I mean? Yeah. For their children to be self-sufficient.
No, definitely. All right, so Oh shit! I'm taking a look at the time here. I'm trying to do my best. Keto, thank you for staying on with us for this long. I didn't realize it had been this long. So we'll kind of wrap up the interview, sort of. But I did want to ask Coach Huey one more thing while he was on. Coach, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, the past maybe almost a half a year, maybe even more. Obviously you've been getting ready for this fight. You've been doing filming the Ultimate Fighter, taking part in that tournament, coaching people going up to these fights, the Tough Finale 17. And of course UFC 159. It's all over now. People want to know what is next. What are you up to right now? obviously the people's champion, Chael Sonnen, is continuing to fight. He's not retiring. God bless him. But, of course, you know, in the meantime, obviously Wandy pushed out of the fight with him. Vanderlei Silva's not fighting him. So what are you doing in the meantime? What is up with Coach Jamie, the living legend, Hugh?
Also, what did you just throw in the microwave for dinner?
I tried to do that on the under. I guess you guys caught on to that. Nothing but Mike Doce, Doce diet approved. Get the book. That's how I eat. And I follow Keto on Instagram, and I've noticed that he's a pretty clean eater himself. You know, as far as what I've been up to, I've got a kid named Chris Folsom. I believe his Twitter handle is at Chris808, I think. If not, I'll tweet it out. We're fighting in Panama, South America, mid-June. So that'll be kind of interesting. We're going to go down to Panama for that. Trying to get Liz a fight. You know, we got some stuff. Obviously, we're signed to Invicta. But we do have an open contract in the sense that we are allowed to take fights outside of Invicta, as long as it's not like a direct competitor. So I'm looking for a 105-pound fight for her. You know, there's other guys in the gym that I'm working with. I've still got the amateur boxing team down there at the Beaver and Powell. I just left the job after 15 years to kind of pursue, some stuff that's kind of in the works. And I'm excited. I'm working with a company called The Search Doctors, SEO, SEM, search engine optimization, doing Google Ads, social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that type of stuff.
Awesome.
And then my friend Shane Baldwin from Sports Management, I'm doing some stuff with Shane, possibly here in the near future. So I'm excited, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. And obviously, you know, we're just waiting to hear what's next for Chael and the dark side, we'll be back in the gym training for the next one. So things are good, man. I'm excited.
Awesome. And I do have just a couple quick questions, MMA related, UFC related, for the both of you guys, Keto Andrews and Coach Jamie Huey. And a Twitter comment came in from the actual, I believe her name is Ashley, but she's Ash on Twitter. She is at our girl. A girly MMA on Twitter. She was tuning in right now, and she wanted to know which one of you guys is cooking a hot pocket. And if you aren't following her, you have to follow her right now on Twitter. It is at a girly MMA. She's actually a total babe, and I'm thinking it's like a fake. I'm thinking it's like a troll, like a catfish.
Yeah, like a troll.
Yeah.
Not real. See, you got that other one on Twitter. You need to be careful, Ramsey. You know you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Oh man, I'm in the doghouse every single night with my Twitter girlfriends. Man, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure a girly MMA called into the MMA podcast last night. That or it was some sort of impersonator. I'm not sure.
That's a little inside. Basically, just for Coach Jamie Huey and Keto, we do this podcast. We did the MMA podcast last night, and like since the running joke is that this Ashley girl, this girly MMA on Twitter, we think she's fake because she can't be that hot and she can't be into MMA like that much.
Yeah,
that doesn't.
I bet he just goes out there so he can follow, like, get all those guys that MMA, UFC guys to follow him back and some shit like that.
Exactly.
So I just had this conversation with somebody today, man. This is so funny. You gotta be careful on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the thing is, like, everything seems to be pointing in the direction that maybe, like, this one is actually legit. So, like, but you know, you never know. Like, he could just be clever and hiring somebody, like, on Craigslist, some girl just model for his videos.
But we need a picture holding a sign, Word on the Street podcast.
Right? Word on the Street podcast. Exactly.
You know what? You're being called out, a girly MMA on Twitter, and she did say she was listening. Tweet out a picture, yeah, with the Word in the Street podcast. And if you are real, you know, I've invited her on the show several times. She never shows up. But yesterday, we had, I'll admit it, it was a fake caller call in as her. But the funny part was, you could totally tell it was a dude.
It was this gangster ass dude from Philadelphia with like a Philly accent and a deep voice.
It was funny as hell, and the dude kept it up for like the entire time, for an hour.
Yeah.
Just pretending to be a girl.
Funny.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But yeah, MMA
that's
catfish. Keto, I gotta ask you this question just off the top of my head. Obviously, you know, I understand you do have children, maybe a girlfriend, who knows what your situation is. But when you are an MMA fighter, I gotta know, man, how many girls are throwing themselves at you? Is that shit real? I mean, like, are there MMA groupies these days? What's the word on the street?
Yeah, I think they're out there and stuff, but you can find them if you want to find them. You know what I mean? They're there. I'm a very personable person. You know, it's part of my job as a personal trainer. You talk to everybody so you can, you know, see the opportunity to help them, you know, reach their fitness goals. But when it comes to these MMA goofies, man, you know, they just want to be a part of it. They just like the limelight and stuff. And, you know, fortunately for me, I you know, like I said, I was a quarterback of my football team and captain of the basketball team and held records in track. So I was kind of the man, you know, in high school, so, you know, and then same thing in college, and, you know, just around, like, the, you know, the in crowd or just the guys that were, you know, the face of the school and stuff, and so it's not much of a transition for me, I think, you know, even with my fraternity, we did step shows all up and down California and stuff like that, and so, you know, I'm used to performing in front of people, so, you know, it's just nothing new to me.
Okay, Keto, man, you did, okay, now, you did mention that you were the quarterback in high school. Automatically, yeah. What that triggers in anybody's mind is that you were a conceited jock. Were you that guy? obviously, you were young, so nobody would hold
young.
It against you.
Hey, I'm not even gonna lie. Like I used to have like I was kind of in my own world. That's one thing I remember because my whole thing was, you know, me and mom, you know, lived together and stuff. So my whole thing was, you know, I got caught up in some stuff when I was in junior high school and just, you know, not a lot of guidance. And then I had some people help and guide me. And so when I got to high school, it went from, you know, the kid that was, you know, no one really paid attention to now everyone wants to be my friend. So I kind of didn't know how to deal with all that. So I would always like people, I would sit in a different spot every day at lunch and people would always just ask where the big group was that day at lunch is wherever Keto sat is that's where the big group was. And I kind of like, you know, so I started realizing people around me because of my status, not really because of me, because I would never talk to these people after school. It was just, they just wanted to hang out with me. So it was always like, you know, I had no problem being around these people and hanging out and doing stuff, but I knew who's real with me, you know what I mean? Who are my real friends, you know what I mean? Like Drake says, no new friends, you know what I mean? And there's a reason behind that, because those are the people that turn around and stab you in the back, you know what I mean? You got to stick with the people that were down from day one. But yeah, but going back to your question, yeah, I did, you know, I was a jerk every now and then and stuff, but, you know, I always try to help people. You know, that's always been my thing is, you know, I'm the face of the team and stuff, and I would always show those, you know, the guys on our freshman team and the junior varsity team that this is going to be you in a couple of years. You know, I remember being you. You know, it's nothing different. I'm no special. I'm no different than you are. You know what I mean? So my thing was always trying to bring people up coming up. You know what I mean?
No, I understand, man.
Yeah, and you know, to rewind real quick, I definitely want to make a point to, you know, to say we're, you know, there are some really solid people on Twitter. Some of the girls that are MMA fans, obviously, we don't want to group them all as the same, but, you know, my friend Amber Matthews is just about as solid as anybody.
Totally.
And then if I start naming people, I'm going to get myself in trouble if I leave somebody out. But,
yep.
There's met some very cool people on Twitter.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, that's it. Like, as she is legit, she actually did just tweet in. I think she's listening. She said, I am real and I am spectacular. Which is exactly,
Seinfeld reference for the win.
Yeah, that was good. That's the thing though. She knows a little too many nerdy references to where you're like, there's always a question,
yeah.
Man. There's always a question. Yep.
Always.
Okay, I do have the podcast will continue after we're done with our guests here, but obviously we've kept them on long enough. I just have one more question. It is a general MMA question. I just have to get your take, Jamie Huey and Keto. Let's actually do it in that order. look, I'm a crazy guy. I'll admit, I'm just a obscure podcast radio host. I smoke a lot of marijuana. I'm not going to even lie. I come up with crazy conspiracy theories, and I do believe that fights in the UFC, several of them, have been rigged. And I just want to say, after last Saturday watching the main event, Vitor Belfort versus Luke Rockhold, he did that crazy spinning heel kick knockout. Me, myself, I think it was a work. I think Luke Rockhold took a dive. Vitor Belfort, he was competing in, of course, his hometown. He is the hero. It was in a new city, a new market in Brazil. He lands that head kick. If you look at the slow motion replay, you see Luke Rockhold actually nod at him, like nod at the man. He nods at Vitor, and then he gets that kick to the face. He drops down. He's not even knocked out. Look, guys, bottom line, I'm calling bullshit. I think it was a fake knockout. I think it was a work. I think it happens in the UFC. Obviously, you guys can't even if you believe it, you can't say it, but I'm just going to ask you anyway. Coach Huey, did you see the Vitor, the Ultimate Warrior versus Luke Rockhold fight? And what did you think, man?
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't. I was down in the Bay Area Saturday night working, so I didn't get a chance to see the fight. Hopefully, obviously, I'm going to, at some point, I'll watch it. I guess the rule number one is never talk bad about the organization you're trying to get involved with.
Jesus Christ.
I'll go ahead and pass it to Keto.
All right. I understand people. But
the number you have dialed has been disconnected.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if I'm trying to get a job somewhere, there's chances I'm going to go mad mouthing it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well then I'll tone it down just a little bit then. Here's a softball question. Keto, everyone's saying that Bellator is a bunch of assholes in management, like just corrupt. What do you have to say about that? I'm kidding, guys. I'm totally fucking kidding. No, Keto, actually, before we wrap it up, what is your future here? Are you still an MMA fighter? Are you going forward? What are your future plans?
I think my future plan is to ride this thing until the wheels fall off. You know what I mean? I'm watching Dan Anderson Silva, and these guys that are around my age, and you know, I just watched Floyd Mayweather, and you know, one thing that people don't understand about, you know, age is, it's one thing to be old, it's another thing to be, you know, experienced. You know what I mean? That when people, you know, watch me fight, it was very tough with Calvin. You couldn't really see it, but I'm very athletic. You know what I mean? I was a hurdler in college, and I wasn't, you know, my times were up there with the Olympic trials and stuff like that.
The tough champion himself, Calvin Gastelum, is saying that you were the hardest fight of his entire life. I have to point that out again.
Yeah, and everyone, you guys are the first guys that haven't asked me anything about, like, you know, is my age playing a factor and stuff. And I think the thing that's playing the biggest factor is my children. You know what I mean? Because I'm putting all this effort into this to try to provide for them, but I'm starting to think, like, you know, is this worth it? And then I'm just like, fuck, I've worked so hard to walk away from it. You know, what will I do if I just turn and walk away from this right now and devote to my children? I know I wouldn't think twice about it, because I love my children to death, and that's what I'm here on this earth to do, is provide for them. But at the same time, it's like, you know, will I be totally satisfied with what I've done? And I would have to say no, I wouldn't be. You know what I mean? So as long as I can keep fighting and I keep getting cleared and people still want to watch me, I'm going to continue to fight. You know what I mean? Even with the performance that I was, you know, the preparation I had for that last fight wasn't what I would have wanted it to be. But, you know, I put on a show for these people. You know, I did all kinds of stuff and hyped up the fight. And, I mean, I probably made my opponent an extra $4,000 just from how many people I had, his fans that I got, you know, just totally engaged. I mean, I'm talking like 100+ comments on Facebook and stuff, you know, because I'm heckling them, because I make a video of me hitting pass, and then I say, hey Max, you're not gonna, you can't even hit harder than this girl. I mean, it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it was a huge crowd. There was at least 5,000 people at that fight, And, you know, I put on a show. I wasn't, my outcome wasn't what I wanted, but I gave the fans what they wanted with the show. You know
Hell
I mean?
Yeah. And every time, every video I saw on YouTube, look it up, Keto Anders on YouTube. When he wins, you hear the chant go out, Keto, every fucking time, man. Gotta love that, man.
Right there. I love that. I love my people, man. It's a
Hell
beautiful
yeah.
thing.
Hell yeah. And so, Keto, where can people, contact you, look you up, find you, just anywhere, man? What's the word on the street?
Everything is Keto Andrews. It's K-I-T-O Andrews, A-N-D-R-E-W-S. Everything is, Keto Andrews at Gmail, at, KetoAndrews.com, Keto Andrews on Instagram, Keto Andrews on Twitter, Keto Andrews on Facebook, man. I friend request people, you know, if you got cool stuff on Twitter, I'll follow you back, but if it's bunk, I'll follow for a little bit and then I'll get off it and stuff. So, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I love meeting new people and stuff like that and love hearing people's stories and stuff. And you know, I'm a God-fearing man, so if you have something great to say, pass it on.
Excellent. Keto Andrews, thank you very much for coming on the Word in the Street podcast. Sorry that took so long, but it was really interesting talking to you, man.
I had a great time. And real quick, I have that website, Coach, who you were talking about. It's www.denopoathletes.com.
My man.
GENOPOathletes.com.
Edward.
Okay.
OVO athlete.
Awesome.
Yep, that's Shane Baldwin. So that's a guy that he's a friend of mine, friend of ours, kind of you, and friend of Chael's. And he just signed Kelvin, Luke Burnett, Clint Hester, and John McGuire.
Smart man.
Yeah, we're building some stuff. He's Shane's really a good guy, and hoping to do some big things with him in the future. So, Keto is definitely one of those guys. I talked to my buddy Scott Kirk Cutbirth over there at the RFA matchmaker, and I know he's supposed to visit Team Alpha Male. It's not like Thursday, and one of the heads up I gave him, I said, look, man, you got to look out for a guy named Keto Andrews over there. He was the only guy to go the distance with Kelvin in the house, and this guy is solid. I'm excited, man. Definitely me and Keto are going to be doing some things together in the future, and you will see this guy in the UFC. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind about it.
Awesome. Yes, Keto, thank you for coming on the Word in the Street podcast. Definitely looking forward to seeing you fight again. Check him out on Twitter, people. Follow Keto Andrews, man. And then, of course, this episode, I'm just going to blast it out. It was a damn good interview, damn good talking to you, dude. Thank you very much, Keto, man.
I had a ton of fun, man. You guys, anytime. The one thing I really want to thank you guys, man, without people like you guys and doing what you do, man, we're nobody. You know, we don't have a voice without your guys' help. So thank you so much for what you do. I mean, you guys... we're doing a ton of other stuff, but you guys dedicate to this, and I appreciate it so much. So I can't thank you enough for reaching out to me, too.
No, thank you. I appreciate that, man. We're just as addicted as you are, definitely, man.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right. Well, Keto, we'll talk to you soon. We'll definitely have you back on. And, man, take care of those kids and take care of yourself. Keep fighting for us, dude. Definitely.
Thank you so much, you guys, man. Tweet me that link, man, so I can get it out to my people, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Check your timeline. There's probably already 10 tweets. A girl in MMA already actually tweeted. She tweeted a picture of herself holding up a note that says.
I'm going to check it out. After this.
Hey, breaking news.
The only thing for my website, I don't have internet right now, so I haven't been able to update my feed or anything like that, or even update it from, like, I think 2 fights ago. So I apologize, and I'll get on that as soon as possible for my people to check out my website.
No problem, man. I'll be running over the video of this when I post it on YouTube. I'll have a couple of your fights running over it, if that's okay.
Nice.
Yep,
that's
definitely.
What's up. Perfect. That'd be incredible.
Hell yeah, man. It's going to be good, and I'll tweet that at you. Thanks again, man.
Thanks so much, you guys. Coach Mimi, thank you so much, man. We'll be in contact.
Anytime, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys.
Yep, we'll talk.
Take it easy.
Man. Good night. And that was Keto Andrews on the Word on the Street podcast. We are still here with Coach Jamie Huey and Jake from the MMA podcast. Just wanted to keep it going a little bit longer here. A girl.
Turns out she's not a catfish. Holy fuck.
I think it's real. Because, like, if this dude was hiring a girl to post these pictures and video, he wouldn't have been able to get it done so soon, I don't think. That's leading me to believe it might be legit. But, Coach... Coach Huey?
Yes.
Just wanted Keto was a damn good guy, man. Was he putting on a show, or was that the real Keto, man?
No, absolutely. There wasn't a guy on that show that I didn't like, to be honest with you. But there were certain guys that stood out. And Keto was a guy that I liked from the beginning. I liked everybody from the beginning, but Keto he really had a good story. I think if he had ran into maybe somebody else other than Kelvin, he really would have went far in the tournament. But fortunately, it's a luck of the draw, man. I had a kid named Ephraim Estrada that I used to take to the National Silver Gloves, and he would hit like four or five times in a row. He would either fight the guy in the first round that ended up winning the national title, or he would get all the way to the finals and we would lose the decision to the guy that obviously. So, it's the luck of the draw sometimes, man. I believe that there was a lot of guys that Keto would have got up there in the house, and unfortunately he just got the one opportunity and he ran into a hammer. Yeah. So I would definitely say that, I know that there's people listening to this podcast because it, inadvertently things have gotten back to me. Even John Jones questioned me about certain comments I made on this podcast. Shout out to John. I like you, man. I'm so glad I get to root for you now. But, the powers that be, man, let's make this stuff happen. A guy like Keo Andrews, he's got a ton of talent, ton of heart, really a good guy. I'd like to see him maybe get in the UFC, just give him an opportunity. If not, we'll get an RFA with Scott. He'll hook us up. We'll get a couple wins under our belt, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, and just look up anybody listening to this. Like, I have no reason to bullshit you people. Look up a few of Keto Andrews' fights. One of them, the one that I just stands out to me, I don't remember the opponent's name. It's Justin something. Keto fucking, he actually enters the matrix to finish this guy. Like, he hurts him, and then instead of doing the traditional finish, the pound, he actually suplexes this guy in some sort of strange I know you're probably going out right now, but I'm just going to suplex. It is just look up Keto Andrews versus,
I think,
Justin.
It was versus,
he's a finisher. Yeah, he's a finisher, and he likes exciting fights, and that's what people want to see. That's his forte. That's what sells him. He's a guy that he's exciting to watch, and he likes to finish fights. And that's that anybody buying a ticket, that's what they want to see happen.
Yeah, look up Keto Andrews. Keto spelled KITO, taking on Justin Baseman. Baseman spelled BAESMAN. That was at WFC Resolution last September. Interestingly enough, that was reffed by Josh Rosenthal.
Oh no, Josh Rosenthal. Of course, apparently
free Rosenthal.
Yes, definitely. He's just a man growing a plant, and he decided to grow 6 million of them. But is that a crime, people? It's a plant. Who put that on this earth? Probably God, if you believe in that. And Coach, I just wanted to keep you on, actually, because I just wanted to just kind of follow up a little bit. Obviously, we've had tough fighters on, but this is the first guy that was just in the premiere. Obviously, he struck a nerve or something. I don't think we got to it, really. What was it about Keto that made you remember him? You know what I'm saying?
I don't, you just get certain, as a coach, you kind of develop, I don't know if you want to call it a third eye, but there's something special about certain things. There's everybody's kind of got something, but there's certain guys that just kind of stand out to you. One of the things I like to brag about is the fact that, Joe will tell you this, Clayton, Scott, Doce, Vinny, any of those guys will tell you that I was really big on Kelvin from the beginning. Kelvin kind of became my guy. Uriah was just like this flashy, just like God-gifted talent, and I love Uriah. He's like one of my favorite people in the universe to be next to. But mm-hmm. Kelvin had like this, the very quiet, sense about him, but he was always like very confident about everything. Nothing bothered him. He was always smiling. He was always happy to be there. And I just got that sense from Kelvin from the very beginning, and he kind of really became my guy from the beginning. And I like all the guys on the dark side. I mean, Jimmy is such a good dude. Yeah. Zach is like a close friend. Luke is great. Kevin, I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out. Like, everybody on that team was Tor. I can't even begin to tell you how good of a guy Tor is. But, you know, there was just something about Kelvin that me and him just clicked. We were boys. So I don't really know what to call it. It kind of made me feel good about me being able to see how Kelvin, and he ends up winning this thing when he's the underdog. I had that same sense about Keto. There was something special about him, and you can hear it when he's talking about his kids. I mean, he's got a good heart. He's a good person. He's really about living an example for his kids, and I mean, you just got to respect that, man. There's a lot of people out there that they're really, you know, unfortunately about themselves. But Keto's really a guy that he's got a good heart, and you definitely want to see a guy like that succeed.
Yeah, man. KG, definitely friend of the podcast. We are going to have him on again soon. He's actually running into a problem right now. I don't know if you're aware of this, Coach Chewy, but nobody wants to fight this fucking kid, man. Nobody wants to fight him. Who do you think his first fight should be against in the UFC, man?
You know, hammer for anybody. I mean, he's running through guys at 85. It's 70.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of... I guess that's up to Joe Silva. Joe's going to have to tell somebody who he's fighting. But if I was a 170-pound fighter in the UFC, Kelvin would definitely be a guy I'd want to avoid. You know, that's a tough weight class. There's some tough guys out there. But I guess Joe will do his job. Joe will tell somebody who he's fighting, and, you know, that's what you signed up for. You know, if you fight in the UFC, you better consider yourself to be ready to fight anybody at any time. So if Kelvin Gastelum comes up on the radar, then you better start training, because I promise you he will be.
Yeah, and he will. He's the type. He's my favorite kind of fighter. He is son and ish in this regard. He'll never fucking duck anybody. He'll never say no to any fight they put in front of him. He'll take it every time.
No way. Kelvin doesn't know how to lose.
Yep. Definitely.
He doesn't know how to lose, and that's a very dangerous thing. When you have a guy in front of you that does not know how to lose, that's dangerous.
He is the damn champion, the tough champion, season 17. And yeah, I guess with that, we will end the Word on the Street podcast for this. Actually, I do want to point out one more thing. Just follow me on Twitter, the Ant Jimmy Show on Twitter. Just only to see a girly MMA's picture that she just posted here, holding up a piece of paper saying the word in the street. But now that I'm looking at it, you know, analyzing it a little bit, like kind of, you know, a little stalkerish, a little freakerish on my part. But she has a really extremely long tongue. It's
oh jeez,
it's almost.
Wait, is there a Photoshop going on here? I mean, you know, how hard would it be to Photoshop a picture of somebody holding the Word on the Street podcast?
That's true.
I don't know, man. You know what? Yeah.
The paper is tilted at an angle. It looks legit, but, you know, I'm just looking at it. The only thing that looks fake about the picture is their tongue. That's all I'll say.
But before we close, Ramsey, I want to say, man, that these podcasts just keep getting better and better, man. We've got some big things going on, and Jake, you are a freaking, you're a solid addition to the show. There's a couple things brewing, and I kind of hinted on it a little earlier, and I don't want to make big promises and not follow through, but there's a couple special guests that we're working on bringing in, and if that happens, it's definitely some big things for us, man. So, you know, again, Ramsey, man, you're killing it on the podcast, dude. This is definitely your calling, and Jake, you are the cleanup hitter on the team, brother. So, as far as, you know, listening and watching you guys do this, it feels to me like the podcast just keeps getting better and better. obviously we're on iTunes, Ustream, and YouTube. So we're killing it, man. We're just going to keep making this thing bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah, and thanks for reminding me. And, yes, I do appreciate that, man, definitely. Yeah, we are on iTunes now. Just look up the Word on the Street podcast. iTunes, if you got the store, Word on the Street podcast. It'll be the first one listed. You'll see I am working to get the whole archive up there. It's going to be great. But, you know, the most recent and the most popular episodes are already on there. Definitely. And, yeah, Coach, yeah, I'm hoping only good things come forward. But it does keep getting better and better because, like, we're just getting looser. I think we're actually, you know, just, and the fact that we keep it real here, you know, I think that's the whole entire key here. Definitely.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I'm from Ash. I thought we were friends. My tongue is flying, damn it. I'm sorry. I didn't say anything about your tongue, girl. So tweet.
I was pointing out that it was perfect.
I'm not involved in this. It has nothing to do with me.
Her tongue is fine.
Yeah. You know, real quick, you know, anybody out there that wants to sponsor the show, we're looking for sponsors. You know, Ramsey does a hell of a job putting video up there. So if there's people that want to get involved, get behind what we're doing, you know, get a hold of either Ramsey or myself or Jake or whoever, and let's talk about this because we're definitely getting a lot of hits on Twitter, man. On Twitter, on YouTube, there's a lot of, I mean, the Uriah Hall episode, I think, got like 18, or last time I checked was like 2 weeks ago, and we were like at 17,000 hits. So there's definitely a market here for people that want to be involved in this. We're all obviously looking for fans, friends, and sponsors. So, you know, get a hold of us, and we can definitely make some things happen.
Absolutely. Basically, the bottom line is we're just all trying to do the same thing here, promote the sport. Sure, yeah, it'll work out in everyone's own best interest, but we love this fucking sport. That's why we're doing it.
No question.
I'd rather be into this sport than into my other side job, which I consider it now. You know what I'm saying? And I think
exactly.
A lot of people are like that. So,
yeah,
if you like what you're hearing, let us know. Definitely. And a girly MMA, you have to be on the show on Thursday. I'm sorry. And, with that, Coach, there is actually, to be truthfully honest, Mr. Ross Finkelstein from Twitter. He is actually wanting to challenge Jake from the MMA podcast to a little side game we have going on here. So it's up to you, Coach, if you want to just drop off right now and say goodbye, or if you'd actually like to be a part of this little game that we got going on here on the side.
Oh, no.
It's a trivia game. It's ridiculous. It takes forever. It's totally fanboyish. So it's up to you.
Okay. You know what? Yeah, I'm game. Why not?
All right. Well, hopefully.
You got my curiosity now.
All right. Well, hopefully Mr. Ross Finkelstein from Twitter is going to call in and step up finally. Jake from the MMA podcast, can you break down exactly what the game is and who this bum is that's trying to call you out, dude?
This piece of pawn scum over here, Ross Finkelstein, he's been calling for the belt since I got it. He's been calling me out. He's been ducking me. Tonight, he'll finally get his chance to get his paws on the belt. The only time he's going to get his paws on this belt is if I decide to let him polish it in between fights. Bring it on, buddy. Let's see what you got. The point of the game is quite simple. Ramses will start it off with a random fighter. Say he starts it off with Chael Sonnen. The next person will have to name somebody that Chael has fought in the UFC. We're not going way out there with Cage Warriors or the WFC and all this. We're staying inside the UFC, and it's a simple game. It's called the opponent game. You name an opponent of the previous fighter mentioned, and there are only two ways to get yourself kicked out of the game. Either A, you can't think of anything. Ramses will be the judge. If you waffle for, you know, 5 or 10 seconds, you're out. You're also out if you mention a fighter who's been mentioned before. Same guy can't be mentioned twice. And I'm ready to finally get the clown out.
Yep, and we do. He did call in just right on cue. Mr. Ross Finkelstein, are you there, man? Are you here on the Word on the Street podcast? Uh-oh.
He
is. It's showing that
winner by no show.
I think I scared him speechless.
This is the guy. Oh, he he's writing. He's saying, hold on. He's not ready yet, apparently. We'll see he finally unmutes. Maybe he's going to somewhere he needs to be. But basically,
Rush, you got to be ready when the bell rings, man.
He's
when you're ready. You go when it's your turn.
He's telling his family his final goodbyes.
Yep. Well, basically, Coach Jake, he made a mess of that explanation. Here's how the game works.
Okay, because I'm confused. So yeah,
tell me. Here's how the game works. I name somebody a fighter like Anderson Silva, and then you name somebody that he's fought. And then after you, Ross names somebody that he's fought, and so forth. You just have to keep naming an opponent. You just keep naming somebody that person has fought until you either can't name anybody, then you're eliminated. It keeps going around until the last man is standing. It's called Name the Opponent. Actually, I don't have the official fucking name for it. It's the Opponent Game. You just name somebody that they've fought, you know? And and of course, it does show that he's still connected. For some reason, he's not speaking right now. I don't know what's going on with Ross.
Let's get this over with. I got a belt to win.
There we go with that. What is it?
Oh, damn.
He sounds like who, Jake?
What? Edward Norton sounding like motherfucker.
I hear you.
Are you Edward Norton, by the way, Ross Finkelstein?
Let's play.
All right, fine. He's not.
Ooh, he's Fight Club, super serious version of Norton.
He did his walkout. He doesn't want anybody to hug him. He's ready to fight. All right, I understand, man. Okay, well, without further ado, I will start this game off. And Coach, you'll play along, just as the buffer man. But obviously, basically, this is going to be a war between Jake and Ross. They are claiming to be MMA experts, but
So the belt's on the line.
It is. It is. Jake has won the previous two times. Ross is calling him out, staying up late. And just a side note on Ross, he is fighting out of somewhere in the East Coast, and he is a real practicing Jew. Follow him on Twitter, Ross Finkelstein. Now, here we go.
Right.
I will start it off, people. And, since you guys are high-level competitors, I'll start it off with not a champion. I'll just start it off. The UFC fighter is Carlos Condit. Carlos Condit. Now, Jake, and then Coach Jamie, and then Ross, in that order. Jake, Jamie, Ross. Name somebody.
Wait.
Yes.
I'm not playing this. Oh, I name a fighter. I'm not involved in the title.
Okay,
right?
Fine. All right. It's just a showdown then. We're doing it then.
All right.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll go first. We'll do three rounds. Best of three rounds is going to win between Jake and Ross, all right? So here we go. First round, the fighter is Carlos Condit. Jake, name an opponent of Carlos Condit.
I'll start it off easy for this bum, George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre, Ross, who has he fought?
Nick Diaz.
Back to you, Jake.
Nick Diaz has fought BJ Penn.
Rory McDonald.
Rory Mack has fought Che Mills.
Dwayne Ludwig.
Oof. Dwayne Bang Ludwig last time he stepped in the cage. Dan Hardy.
Dan Hardy fought Chris Lytle.
Man, Chris Lytle's fought so many people. Matt the Terra Serra.
Matt the Terra Serra. Bug Jitsu. Eve Edwards.
Holy shit.
Eves Edwards. Yeah, we actually were just talking about that Sarah versus Edwards fight on the round table today. Or was that the pot? Whatever the fuck. Jeremy Stevens.
Donald the Cowboy Cerrone.
Donald Cerrone, UFC
Pettis.
On Fuel TV.
Anthony Pettis.
Joe Lozon.
Jim Miller.
Pat Healy.
He's hitting you, man.
Can we hop back to Strikeforce? Because I know
UFC.
I know this is UFC only, right?
Patrick Healy has had two UFC fights. So I have to say, the rules are, if he'd only had one UFC fight, then yes, you could name someone else. But he has had two fights in the UFC.
I could name a few of his Strike Force opponents. I know he fought Thompson, Blanco. I can't name the other dude fought in the UFC.
I'm sorry. Round one goes to Ross Finkelstein.
I don't fuck around.
UFC. Pat Healy, Patrick Bam Bam Healy fought one time in the UFC previously against Anthony Torres.
Really?
He lost via rear naked choke at UFC Fight Night 6. And this was in the year 2006.
You're getting me on fucking loopholes, son.
There we go. So that's round one. I'm sorry, that's round one going to Ross. We are doing best of three, all right, guys? Holy shit. So right away, Ross wasn't all talk. He is the Chael Sonnen, apparently, of this game. He came at the champ, and he was worth every fucking ounce of the shit-talking that he did, man. Jake, before we move on to round two, what are you thinking? Are you stunned right now? Are you rocked? What's happening?
I don't know. I think it's kind of silly. I probably could name five dudes he fought in Strikeforce. I don't know. Some random bum he fought in 06, but whatever.
Okay. I don't mean to, like, kick him the balls while you're down, but Could you actually name five guys that Patrick Healy has fought in Strikeforce? Because I'm looking at it right now. I can confirm it.
Yeah, I actually looked up his record because I called him.
Oh, that doesn't count then.
Wait, no. Not now, but before Healy fought Miller, I was looking up tape on Healy because I picked him to beat Miller.
Name five Strikeforce fighters, just out of curiosity.
Josh Thompson, Lyle Beerbaum, Mexico Blanco, Mizuto Hirota, and Kurt Hollebaugh.
Holy shit, he is. Holy shit, this is getting down and dirty, man. Jake basically just said,
I'm
fuck you to me.
By your performance.
Now, Coach Jamie Hewitt, are you still there, or have you fucking hung up on this crazy?
No, I'm listening, man. I'm not tuning out of a title fight. This is interesting.
It's getting ridiculous. And Ross, why does it sound like you're the voice of God right now?
It's Edward Norton, not God.
Okay, it's Ed Norton. All right, people. Okay, round two. Round two of the opponent game. Name a random UFC fighter. Let's go with... I just have to type this out because you guys were going faster than I could actually click and follow along with. Like, a few of those calls, a few of your guesses, I was just like, yeah, that's badass. Yeah, that's legit. But I wasn't really following along.
Do I still sound like God?
No, that's better.
All right.
You dropped the damn opera. You're out of the fucking ballroom now.
Nah, I got a mixing board here, and it's just that echo on.
You got that reverb, dude? All right. Okay, we will go with... Holy shit. All right. A little bit tougher this time. The fighter is, and we will start off with Ross this time, since he is, he won the first round. Ross, the fighter is Phil, motherfucking wonderful thing.
Mr. Wonderful. Vinny Magalhães. Whatever you pronounce his name.
Vinny Magalhães.
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 At least recently, I think he only has one other UFC opponent, Igor Pokryuk.
That's right, Igor Pokryuk.
No, he's got two others, actually. He's got Ryan Bader and Elliot Marshall.
That's right.
Igor Pokryuk has actually fought Todd Brown, if I can remember correctly.
Todd Brown at UFC Live, Sanchez versus Campman. That is correct, and he did try to fuck you, Jake.
Debut on.
He tried to fuck you, Jake, but Todd Brown has had two
Tim
UFC fights. Yep. Tim Boesch, UFC 117. Back to you, Ross.
Oh, wait, that doesn't count because you only have one other fight?
What do you mean?
I didn't hear if he answered or not.
Yeah, he answered Tim Boesch has fought Todd Brown.
Oh.
Back to you, Tim Boesch. Who is he?
Oh, that's easy. Hector Lombard.
Hector Lombard at UFC 148, the greatest UFC of all time. Back to you, Jake. Hector Lombard.
Husmir Palhares.
Husmir Palhares. UFC on FX. Sodomitropolis versus Paul Head. Back to you, Ross Finkelstein.
Mike Massenzio.
Mike Massenzio. That was UFC 142. Mike Massenzio. Jake, what do you got?
I'll go with Christoph So Stinky.
Christoph, we'll give you the pronunciation. Christoph Sosinki, UFC 131, that is correct. Back to you, Ross.
Brian Stan.
Brian Stan, UFC 97. What the fuck?
I'll go with Chael P. Sonnen.
Chael Sonnen. UFC 136.
Probably.
Baba Lou, holy shit, in the UFC. That was. Shit, I'm trying to get a hang of it here. Yeah, UFC 55, sorry. Sorry, I just had to keep the facts straight. UFC 55, Baba Lou, back to you, Jake.
Mike Van Arsdale.
UFC 57.
Ah, oh, shit. I think he fought Couture.
Couture at UFC 54, that is correct.
Can I be a dick and say James Toney here?
You can, but there is a new rule. There is a rule that since James Toney has only had one MMA fight, you do pass that round, but Ross cannot be disqualified. He does get a chance to name another opponent, Randy Couture, to keep the round going.
All right.
That's a new rule. Just keeping it fair.
So that's, do I name an opponent of Couture?
Yeah, just name another opponent of Couture.
Vitoroid.
Vitor Belfort. Yep, they fought, I think they fought like twice or something, but he beat him at UFC 49, definitely. Jake?
I was actually watching a bunch of early fights of Vitor's recently. Marvin Eastman.
Marvin.
Oh, that fight was gross. He had that fucking cut on his
head. Yeah, it was. You could see that dude's skull.
Yeah, it was UFC 43 for the people that just only have hopped on the MMA bandwagon in the past couple of years. UFC 43, check it out.
Well, okay. Rampage debuted against Eastman.
Rampage Jackson, UFC 67, that is correct.
I'll go with a dude who's made a cameo in my favorite show, Keith Jardine.
Keith motherfucking Jardine at UFC 96. Back to you, Ross.
Houston Alexander.
Houston, that was like, wasn't that like the big upset? Yeah, it was. UFC 71. Holy shit, Jake.
I'm going with the greatest UFC fighter of all time, Kimbo Slice.
Mitrione.
Back to you, Jake. Mitrione.
Meathead Mitrione just beat Phil DeFreeze.
Todd Duffy.
Mike Russo.
I laugh every time I hear that name. John Olav Einemo.
John Olav Einemo.
What the fuck? Who the fuck is John Olvinemo?
He's that dude that was supposed to fight Carwin in his debut fight, and then Carwin moved up and fought JDS.
Jake, what do you got?
I really want to say he fought that Herman guy. Dave Herman.
He got it.
I was about, dude, I was like, I couldn't figure it, like I was thinking Ed or Dave, 50-50 chance. I almost said Ed Herman. I'm glad I went with Dave,
this
though.
This is too nerdy, and I'm sorry to Coach Jamie Huey. This shit should have been over 5 minutes ago, dude.
This is interesting, man. You guys are good, man. I could do this with boxing like 5 years ago, but yeah. Boxing and MMA, the names have started to merge, so I start to kind of get a little too confusing, but I'm impressed.
This is ridiculous. All right, we're on Dave Herman. Is it Ross's turn or Jake's?
Yeah, it's my turn. Right. Dave Herman fought Big Nog.
Big Nog. And that was at UFC 153.
Baddest man on the planet, Cain Velasquez.
Cain Velasquez, UFC 110.
Oh, Cain's debut fight, Jake O'Brien, I think.
You're wrong, but he did fight Jake O'Brien. It was Brad something that was his debut. But all right, back to Jake with a Jake O'Brien.
John Jones.
John Jones, UFC 100.
Why would you mention that man's name?
Yep, I know, man. That was a low blow, dude, Jake.
Brandon Vera.
Shogun.
Truth, Vera, and then we got Shogun.
What do you Forrest got? Griffin.
I miss Forrest, man. I got to get him on the podcast. That would be the shit, but he blocked me on Twitter and he hates my ass. I fucked it up because he was set to fight Chael. And so, of course, I started bashing Forrest Griffin, but he's never forgiven me and I'm still on block. Back to you, was it Jake?
The biggest movie star in MMA, Stephen Bonner.
Stephen Bonner, if you haven't seen the movie Supreme Champion, rent, well, you probably can't even rent it anywhere. Just download it legally. Like, that's the only place where it's probably even available. Stephen Bonner, back to you, Ross.
Bonner, let's think. James Irvin?
James motherfucking Irvin at UFC Ultimate Fight Night number 3 back in the year 2006. Now, again, I have to say, if I
have a feeling this is just going to keep going for like 15, 20 minutes, dude. Seriously.
It's an interesting game here. You don't expect like total fucking nerds to go up against each other.
I know, dude. It's
or one of you is fucking cheating.
This game makes sense when it's like a bunch of people who like are, you know a lot of fights. But yeah,
fair weather fans.
I'm definitely a little nerdy with this shit.
There's got to be, let's just at least keep plowing. Let's see where it ends. James Irvin, back to you, Jake.
Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva busted for the weed.
That Rock dude hasn't won a fight in like 6 years, right?
It's something like that.
Last fight, 2009. Yep. Keith Jardine.
Really? He hasn't won since 2009? Holy yep. shit.
No, he fought Nedkov last.
He did. UFC on Fuel TV, Franklin versus Kong Lee. It was a work, people.
Another UFC marijuana victim.
Yep. But Nedkov, back to you, Jake.
Man. Kong Watson?
Tom Watson.
Yeah.
Yep. Burrell versus McDonald. Back to you, Ross.
Watson only has one other fight, I think, and that's Tavares. Brad Tavares. Right,
correct. Yep. Back to you, Jake. Brad Tavares.
Oh,
I would not be able to do this shit.
Did he fight Aaron Simpson?
He did. He fought Aaron Simpson at UFC 132. And honestly, I should have been like, is that your final answer? But I didn't. I apologize to the crowd.
I was not sure about that shit. You really should have.
All right. I remember this fight from Weidman's card against Munoz. He fought that Kenny Robertson guy.
Kenny Robertson. That's correct. Jake.
I'm pretty sure I only know this because I'm a big fan of the guy, Mike Pierce.
I actually cornered Mike for that fight.
Really?
Oh, you were there, Jamie. Oh, yep.
Nice.
And this is perfect radio here.
Most underrated fighter in the UFC.
Definitely. Kenny Robertson lost to Mike Pierce. What can you tell us about that fight, Jamie? Just a brief pause in the game.
You know, if Kenny was fighting a good fight in the first round, and me and Mike had worked on something specific for that fight, and it was a slight change of elevation, come over with the overhand right, finish with the left hook. Mike did an interview with MMA Junkie and actually said that he had thrown that combination so many times in training that when he came back with that left hook, he didn't even remember throwing it. It was just muscle memory. And we caught Kenny, stopped him in the second round, I think a minute and 26 seconds in the second round. And I was happy to see Kenny come back after that and, win his first fight, get submission of the night. So, you know, I've talked to Kenny since. In fact, at one point, Kenny was even going to come out here and train with us, but that's what I remember. He was a tough kid, but Mike's really a heavy-handed, low center of gravity, heavy-handed kid. So that was a fun, I think that was Mike's first knockout in the UFC. So that was a fun night for us. That was UFC 126 Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas.
February 5th, 2011. Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. Just real quick before we get back to the game, Coach, what do you know? Are you still in the Mike Pierce camp? Do you know what he's up to lately? Can you give us an update on Mike?
I am still really close friends with Mike. His daughter Mimi is my goddaughter. His girlfriend Crystal is awesome. His whole family is. There was some camp, some other things in this camp that didn't quite really fit, so I decided to excuse myself. But Mike's really a solid guy. Me and Mike will be friends for a long time.
Awesome. So we are on, we were
Mike Pierce.
Right. The opponent was Kenny Robertson, then went to Mike Pierce, and I forgot whose actual turn it was.
It's mine. On Ross.
All right, Ross. We even gave you a break here. You had a chance to think about it, so go easy on this fucking kid.
Oh, I knew immediately because I saw this card the other night on Fuel. Yeah, I actually watched Fuel, and he fought Brock Larson on the Diaz-Gallard card.
Brock Larson. Back to you. Brock Larson, Jake. Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I know he fought Condit in the WEC, but that's all I'm coming up with, man.
Oh, no.
Yep.
I'll give you 5, 4, you might have a new champion, 3, 2.
All I'm coming up with is Condit.
Oh, my
Congrats,
God.
Congrats, Ross.
Holy
the new champion.
Shit.
The belt is yours.
Kaboom.
Holy fuck, Ross Finkelstein wasn't full of shit. He was ready to take this motherfucker, and he did it. It was the longest round we've ever fucking seen. We almost gave up on it midway through. We threw to a question in the middle of this damn thing. I can't believe it. Holy shit, Ross Finkelstein. You did beat the 2-time champion so far on the opponent game. You beat him by throwing a Brock Larson curveball at him. Ross, make a short, for the love of God, victory speech.
Are you not mesmerized? Do you not have chills running down your spine?
You were damn good. I have to ask, man. I'm going to ask because I can actually read people pretty well. Did you cheat at all?
Is my name Vitor?
He did not cheat. I believe in people. He is the real Ross Finkelstein on Twitter. Ross Finkelstein on Twitter. Now, he did defeat Jake.
Ross.
Now Ross, I feel my duty to let you know there's a guy on Twitter at Wu-Tang-190 that says, quote, I'd take the belt.
Uh-oh. We have another challenger already.
He was the first one to respond.
Oh, it is Wu-Tang, man. Oh, we know who that is, man. And we also have Chris Lowe saying he wants to get in on this. Oh, man, Ross, people are already trying to set up your title. Are you ready to defend it on Thursday night, the next episode, before we wrap things up right here?
I'll fight anyone right now, even.
That's right. And he may or may not be Edward Norton.
May or may not.
Yeah, next time, definitely start off with that. Whatever that God voice miracle reverb effect you had going on.
Actually, I can put it on now because I am champion, so you know.
Yeah. Put it on right now and just tell people right now where they can reach you on Twitter, Ross Finkelstein.
You can find the champ. champ. at Ross Finkelstein.
Oh, and I have to say, real quick, you did actually design, you train Photoshop, is that not correct?
Third degree black belt.
Hell yeah, and you did come up with the Vanderlei Silva versus Chael Sonnen Photoshop for Fox Sports 1. Chael actually used that as his background before, you know, Wandy pussied out of the fight and he took that shit down. Real quick, the People's Champion did appreciate it, obviously. What is the deal? Are you a graphic designer? How much are you willing to reveal about yourself right now?
I'm a champion, and I am a graphic designer. And, yeah, I've got something big in the works right now. I actually spoke to someone very important, very, very important, the other day, and got a big, big thing coming up.
Awesome. So if people follow you, Ross Finkelstein on Twitter, they'll actually get to hear about this, correct?
Yes, soon.
Awesome. You are the champ of the opponent game. You will defend the title on Thursday. If not, you better show up. And so follow him on Twitter, Ross Finkelstein. Coach Jamie Huey, how can people contact you? What should they check out? What's the word on the street?
At Coach Jamie Huey. Website, I always say I'm going to update this thing, but I'm doing SEO, SEM work, so finally I'm going to get a little bit better about updating my own stuff, but www.coachjamiehuey.com. Twitter, Facebook. You know, I'm always very, I mean, just reach out to me, man. I'm always available. So, yeah, man, that's basically it. And obviously, join us every Tuesday for the Word on the Street podcast.
Hell fucking yeah. Jake from the MMA podcast. How can the people reach you, hear the episodes? What's up?
Yeah, just follow us on Twitter at the MMA podcast. Follow us, themmapodcast.com. We got a big June coming up. We plan on having on Adam Hunter. You know him better as MMA Roasted. We're planning on talking to Sam Cecilia. Plan on having Eddie Bravo on the show. And real quick, nothing but respect. I know we were talking tons of shit before the fight, but Roz Finkelstein came in here. He impressed the shit out of me. I'm going to be back hungrier than ever. And to quote Mr. Rampage Jackson,
come get it. Come and get
he
it.
Wants his motherfucking belt back. Hell yeah.
Anytime, anywhere.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Coach Huey. Thank you, Roz Finkelstein. Thank you, a girly MMA, Ashley on Twitter. You will be mine. That's a nice tongue. It looks really fake, but really long and mysterious. It's really, guys, you got to just follow the Antium Show on Twitter. Again, also thank you, big thank you to Keto Andrews for keeping it real, coming on the show. That was awesome. And thanks, Coach, for hooking that one up. We will be with you again. Check us out. Just follow us. You'll know when the fucking next episode drops. I apologize for my swearing. You know how it goes. It's late at night. But that is it for the Word on the Street podcast live tonight. Thank you all very much. This will conclude the call. And everybody, just, good night, guys, and we'll talk to you.
Good night, guys.
Bye.